pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
We invite you to check out the work that our next guest, along with Mike Catalana and Jenna Cottrell, are doing at BuffaloPlus.com, covering the Buffalo Bills and 13 Wham Sports as well. Dan Fates, good with his time and joining us for his weekly visit here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. What camp are you in, Dan? Should they go out and get Devontae Adams? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been team wide receiver, make the move. I just don't think it's going to be a realistic play in the sense of I don't think the Bills are going to hit the panic button after 4 weeks and, you know, maybe not the offensive production that they maybe expected. I think they built this team knowing what they had. I would love to make the move. I am team salary cap isn't real. You can make anything work. I think Adams would be a perfect fit and would help take some of the gravity away from Dalton Kincaid and maybe open some things up. I think it would be a fit. I also understand he's 30-something years old. He does cost some money, and I just don't think Bean will make the move. But I would love it. I just don't expect it to happen.
Dan, if it's not Adams, though, we're going to be hearing more and more names, whether it's, hey, look at the receivers in Cincinnati that aren't happy, or, hey, there's sure. Deontay Johnson on an expiring contract. If it's not Adams, should it be someone else? Maybe even it's a kind of a lesser name.
Maybe. I know that's a bad answer to the question. It's just they had all offseason to make moves and to do these things. I just, as of right now, one bad game where this everybody eats philosophy didn't pan out, I don't sense a ton of panic. This isn't, as long as Khalil Shakir's ankle isn't a long-term thing, I think they are happy with what they have in the offense they built. I think they got away from their game plan in Baltimore, but I just don't see them adding somebody that they could have maybe added during the off season, if that makes sense. I know Beans made this moves and, you know, went out and got Calvin Benjamin a few years ago. That one didn't pan out. They got help last year with Rasul Douglas. I just don't see them making a splash. If it's a smaller name, maybe, but I just don't see it, guys.
What about on the defensive line?
Yeah, anybody. How about bodies? How about anybody that can make a tackle? That would help. Wow. Look, and I know I have been a defender of these safeties since training camp, where I said Sean McDermott will get Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin to be fine. I said early on in training camp, DeMar Hamlin was going to win the job and Mike Edwards wouldn't. But they looked bad last week, and trust me, I have friends that are smarter than me that have played football, and they were pointing out how bad the safeties looked. Yeah, well, also when Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver don't have a single tackle, that's not great either. The safeties are good enough to kind of be sufficient. They're not going to be Pro Bowlers, but they're going to be left out to dry when your defensive line and linebackers play as poorly as they did. It was a failure as an entire unit. They need to get more physical. That was something Sean talked about. I would love to see a bigger body. What was it last year? They got Linval Joseph.
Yeah.
Like I would like to see some beef up there. Dwayne Carter played well in mop-up duty against Baltimore. Maybe he gets more in the rotation than he has earlier in the year. But I would be in favor of any beef that could be added to this defensive line because from the first week of the season, I have been concerned about their rushing defense. It was exposed against Baltimore. It wasn't great against Miami. Wasn't great against Arizona. They need to get more physical up there.
Dan, we did have a story on Tuesday that just and it seemingly came out of nowhere because we were told by Von Miller himself that the case was closed. Not in the eyes of the NFL. I'm hearing like Mike Catalana's voice is. I think the reaction for most of it's been, okay, Von Miller's not going to be here. Oh, okay. It doesn't seem like this is a big factor in terms of the next four games in terms of whether the Bills will win or lose.
Yeah, he hasn't really been the. Look, I said it when he had the sack against Jacksonville and the team celebrated when they were up 25 like they were going to the Super Bowl. He did still have a little bit of that closing pop, the closer ability to get after the quarterback like, you know, when he was first with Buffalo and didn't have the ACL injury. That was encouraging to see. I know he's had success analytically on some pass rush win rates and things like that. but he's been non-existent in the running in the running game, and that's been a big problem. So it kind of is. It is also maybe Bills fans are just I'm numb to the fact of oh the Bills lost another player on defense. Like yep, that happens. Yep, and it's like okay, like somebody's got to pick up the pieces. Sean McDermott said you know that Javon Solomon would be one of the first guys to get an opportunity or an increased role. But maybe because it is just four games and maybe because it is a suspension and not an injury that you think could linger, is what it, you know, it's Vaughn again, you know, like they're still kind of paying the bill for his actions. And again, he's hurt the team on the field, unfortunately, with his injury that happens, but he's also hurt the team off the field now.
Dan, can we talk about usage for a little bit? Because that was another thing that kind of came out of the loss on Sunday night. And Curtis Samuel being a part of that trick play kind of puts the interrogation light squarely on him. Like, oh, when you show up, that happens? So let's talk a little bit about how they've used Samuel here. Mostly, I think, as a decoy in like pre-snap motion so far through 4 weeks of the season. And for 3 years and $24 million, I think we all want a little bit more. And furthermore, let's talk a little bit about how they've used or not used Dalton Kincaid. Are they getting the most out of their first round draft pick from last year?
Yeah, Shakir has been or Samuel has been a disappointment just because. And again, I didn't even think about it until somebody brought it up, the fact that he's the highest paid wide receiver on the roster and that you really haven't gotten anything out of him. This is where, guys, this everybody eats philosophy kind of goes stale when the offense all of a sudden can't move the ball and you don't have anybody that can separate. And everybody kind of, their forte is within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. That was a concern heading into the season. The first three games, it was fine. But to not have a downfield threat, and Curtis Samuel is not a downfield threat guy. Like, that's, yes, he's very fast, but that's never been his game. So people that were saying, oh, like, he could be a vertical threat, that's not him. He is a catch after, he's a yards after the catch kind of guy. And there really hasn't been any opportunities for him to get anything going. Now, Josh did miss him. I think it was in week two when he had the wheel route that Josh kind of missed him on. Or maybe that was Arizona. But he had a chance early on and didn't hit him. But besides that, he's been disappointing, to say the least. And the Dalton Kincaid thing was my concern heading into this offseason of, yes, he had a great rookie year. There's no question about it. The 75 catches, the yards, all of those things. But you had a guy like Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs is a guy that is a gravitational pull that defenses have to be aware of. And then we saw in Arizona, he got triple teamed, and teams are taking Dalton Kincaid away. And it is not easy to have your number one target, in theory, be a tight end. It's just, you have to be one of the greats to be a tight end and have the offense's passing game go through you. You're talking about Kelce's. You're talking about Gronk's. You're talking about Tony Gonzalez-type guys that can carry an offense from the tight end position. It's just not that easy to sit there and say, even Greg Kittle, even Mark Andrews, great tight ends, all-pro tight ends. They're not the focal point of an offense. It's tough to do that. So I would love to see Kincaid catch a ball more than 5 yards down the field. That would be kind of cool for me because all these bubble screens have feels like defenses have been able to kind of smother them and kind of constrict their yards after the catch because everything has been so close to the line of scrimmage.
Dan, I knew you were in Baltimore, so you didn't hear Collinsworth bring up the name Stephon Diggs when the Bills were behind, and it's not a new topic with us talking to you here. And since we last talked, there's an ESPN Jeremy Fowler, and okay, I didn't really learn anything there, so.
Nope.
I don't think we're going to learn anything new between now and then. Maybe I'm wrong, but what do we expect? Say that 10 a.m., 11 a.m. Eastern range there. Are we getting man hogs between Diggs and Allen? I'm not expecting man hog between Diggs and McDermott, by the way.
No, I don't think we'll see that. That may be a pat on the back, a good to see you kind of thing. With Josh, it's funny, Mike and I were talking about it driving back from practice yesterday, the fact of, When's the time? We set it at like 11:06 as the over-under time, before or after that. You know, Josh is throwing. I can see it now. He's probably at midfield talking with Case Keenum, who's on the Texans. They're probably laughing and joking, having a conversation. Diggs walks up, and the big thing is the interaction needs to be longer than a hey, high five, but it can't be longer than like 30 seconds because then we'll know it's fake. Like, it has to be a hey, how's everything going? Hope all is well. Great to see you. Like, 15 to 20 seconds, and then they go back to it. Like, this is, and again, and I respect Josh saying, like, no, I haven't talked to him. Like, and he also said, like, that it's not unusual to not talk to a former player.
Right.
Like, so, again, I thought Mike asked the best question at the press conference yesterday. The Hall of Famer that he is said, like, Josh was so professional with all of his answers. And they were a little bit more on the shorter side as he was batting away questions about Diggs and things like that. But Mike kind of asked him, like, you do understand why this is a big deal, right? Like, you do understand that, you know, this quarterback wide receiver duo and this is a story. And Josh was like, yeah, but it's not that unusual. And to that, I would kind of push back because, one, it's obviously it's the wide receiver quarterback relationship that they had, which was very loving for the most part, was what we saw. Not every quarterback and wide receiver were on the cover giving piggyback rides on SI Kids magazines. Like, that was a little different. And so when it went south, seemingly, it is going to be a conversation. And I don't think the conversation, I think this will be a step to put behind him, Josh, that is. But I don't think the Diggs conversation, if the offense doesn't get as more production out of the wide receiver position, I don't think this conversation goes away. Like, I still, again, we were joking around in Baltimore. I go, if you looked at the Bills wide receiver stats, like if you looked at their season stats through three games, you would have probably thought that was an 0-3, 1-2 team. Like, it's not a ton of production. And for as good as Khalil Shakir has been, it's not like he's having Nico Collins numbers. It's not like he's having Justin Jefferson numbers. Like, he's a solid 6 for 70. That's nice. But so this will be interesting, as we like to say, and we joke around about in the podcast as our crutch words. It'll be interesting to see their interaction, but it's got to be more than a handshake, but it can't be a giggle fest where you're like, this isn't real.
Yeah. Dan, let's talk a little bit about that matchup on Sunday, because we know that they have weapons on the outside. We know that CJ Stroud is emerging and he's you know, having another good, productive season so far. We also know that their running game is beat up, that Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce haven't practiced this week, and I believe Cam Akers is who would be on deck if those guys can't go. Are we looking at that as an opportunity for the Bills defense, knowing that the Texans offense might be a little bit one-dimensional, and that Texans defense has some teeth as well? What do we think about the matchups going into Sunday?
Yeah, I think this is a better matchup than it was against the Ravens, not only just because of the running game, but the Texans offense, for as explosive as it can be, has looked a little stale. And when Mike talked to Seth Payne, who covers the Texans in Houston, he kind of talked about, like, the big difference was Mixon. Like, when C.J. Stroud can be under center and has Mixon behind him, there's a different level. Like, you talked about being two-dimensional. Like, then they can really kind of be dynamic and use play action and all of those kind of things. But when you're asking C.J. Stroud to just straight up be in the gun and pick defenses apart, which he can, it's not as explosive. Diggs still is in this downfield threat. He's still having a very productive year because, of course, he is. He's still a very good NFL wide receiver. Nico Collins is the beast, but it's funny. I'm never concerned. I know this is weird about opposing wide receivers. I mean, go back for the last year and a half. Mike, I can't think of a wide receiver that went quote-unquote off against the Bills. A lot of running backs have gone off.
Yeah.
Teams have gone off on the ground against the Bills. But Rasul Douglas has shut down CeeDee Lamb. They've shut down Garrett Wilson. I think Jamar Chase and T. Higgins kind of had like 7-70 against them one game. But they've never really gotten destroyed by a wide receiver. So if the Texans' strength is their passing game and they're on their third running back, like, I like this matchup, and their defense can get run on for Houston, and especially at the quarterback position. I was just looking back at it right now as I'm trying to do my best bets for this week. You know, Anthony Richardson ran for 56 yards. Caleb Williams ran for almost 50 yards against them. Like, they give up big plays on the ground, and their secondary jumps routes, and they're aggressive, and that pays off sometimes, and other times it doesn't. So I like this matchup a lot more. Again, the injuries on the Bills side still have to get figured out. But I said it last week. I picked the Ravens, but even then I said, I'm picking the Ravens, and I'm probably going to pick the Bills against the Texans. It's just the matchup that I saw.
Dan, one last question about this team, because and we'll find out a little bit more, too, in this game. I don't think Christian Benford was going to factor anyway, because the Ravens didn't need to throw the ball. But his first three games in this season here for Buffalo, we all expect the next guy to get paid on this team is Greg Rousseau, probably should. But is Christian Benford right behind him?
Yeah, and I don't know what Greg Rousseau's market's going to be. And I know it's a pass rusher and you draft, develop, and re-sign. But I need to see more in the running game. And again, if there's one thing that the Bills have swung and missed on time and time again, it's edge rushers. They just haven't been able to really hit. And Greg Rousseau is the closest they've come at getting this hit. But what Christian Benford has done in his versatility and the physicality and all of those things and the way that he's emerged as a fifth-round pick or fifth or sixth-round pick out of Villanova to be this guy. Like, he embodies that McDermott dog football player. Like, that's kind of the thing. So I've said for a while now that I've been a Christian Benford stan account, and I just think that he could be a Taron Johnson-level guy, a guy that you may not say is the most talented, but I think he's one of the most important players on the Bills' defense. There's no question. And the yin and yang of him with Rasul Douglas, whether it's their personalities and their playing styles, it's just been a really good cornerback duo that I don't think it's enough recognition for how good they are in the grand scheme of this league.
Dan, can we get a requiem on your Atlanta Braves?
I'm free. I'm free, guys. I did the Con Air tweet yesterday when Nicolas Cage, you know, gets the wind to blow through his hair. If you follow along, I have been very down on this team. The injuries were just too much. And the Chris Sale was just icing on top of a season from absolute hell. Having him waiting in the wings to pitch, you know, the biggest game of the season, whether it was game two against the Mets on Monday or things like that. And then he gets back spasms after being absolutely the most dominant pitcher in the National League this year was just like chef's kiss. Like, it was just absolutely perfect. And I will say, I'm glad they didn't get swept by the Mets on Monday, because that would have been embarrassing at home to get swept by the Mets. But I knew that, unfortunately, it was going to prolong agony to get kicked in the teeth for two more games that I would have to suffer through. So it was a little bit of, yay, now I get to watch this team fail two more times and then be eliminated. So I'm done with this season. Bury it. Burn it. This season sucked. And it's worse because your Mets are going to go to the World Series.
Whoa. No, whoa. I was just going to ask you, Dan, now that we, not just me, you're surrounded by Mets fans in our area. And you,
am I?
You always root for yes, you are. You always root for content. Content. Mets, Phillies, fantastic content. On the record, I want to hear Dan Fates saying he is pulling for the Mets tonight against Milwaukee.
No. That's the worst thing about this, is that my timeline is still flooded with these Mets.
Misfits. I've dubbed them as misfits.
Yes, that's. I was going to go with trolls, but I thought that was insulting to trolls. So I just misfits fits much better. But I think the Mets win tonight. I think they beat the Phillies in four on some fluke. The season to me changed when they were playing the Phillies 2 weekends ago or whatever, and Alvarez threw the ball to third base as one of the guys was stealing, and the ball hit round base.
It hit a round base
and landed on the base.
Yeah,
that was when I went, this was maybe they're a team of destiny too. They are 100% going to beat the Phillies in four, probably the Dodgers in six, and go to the World Series.
This is a Jedi mind trick. I'm not falling for this Dan Fates trap, because then when this really happens, you can take the credit, but you're not pulling for the Mets.
I never
if you're predicting this, why aren't you pulling for this then tonight? Wouldn't you pull for whatever you predict?
I would love to be wrong here. Oh, I would love to be wrong. I also would love it to be a Diaz blown save. Oh.
Dad,
watch Nimmo's sad face run off the field and Diaz.
What do you guys got coming up here the rest of the week that we can get ready for on Sunday for the Bills and the Texans?
Just disgusting. disgusting Mets. yeah, we have our Buffalo Plus live show every Thursday, 7:15 on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. Mike caught up with Seth Payne. He was another guy from Rochester.
Yeah.
Played for the Texans. Mike caught up with him, talked about C.J. Stroud, Jerry Hughes, those kind of things. Worked on my best bets. And then Mike and Jenna are off to Houston. We usually do a five players to watch for the game and all that good stuff.
Well, if you're not going to go to Houston, Dan, if the Mets do pull this off, you want to come over Saturday or Sunday?
You would hate me there.
So
no. No,
so awkward. No. I'm saying no. I'm saying no on your behalf, Dan. You don't even listen to this guy. It's unbelievable. Thanks for the time, buddy.
As always, guys, you're the best.
You got it. There's Dan Fates, 13WAM Sports, BuffaloPlus.com. A very cordial invite, I'm sure. You wouldn't want him there, and he wouldn't want to be there.
No. No, I just wanted to just see, you know, get him all pissy.
Speaking of Seth Payne... Yeah, he's going to join us here, less than an hour from now.
Yeah,
he'll be joining us as well, and we'll dive into this matchup with Seth Payne, who does mornings at our Odyssey Sports sister station, Sports Radio 610, a Section 5 superhero guy from Victor High School, the pride of Victor High School, Victor Hall of Famer. Seth Payne stopping by at 425.
Still has the area code on his phone. They love that.
Yeah, never let go of the 585. It's perfect. We're going to come back with more next, including Seth Payne. More from today's practice as the Bills prepare for that trip to Houston on Sunday. And your phone calls. We have time for them. 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.